SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 4th of May 2026, a day where the Australian share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 down 0.4% ahead of what is expected to be an official interest rate rise tomorrow, the index at 8,697. Seven of its 11 sectors finished lower, consumer staples the worst, Coles down nearly 4% today, energy stocks lost ground, Viva Energy down 3.2%, it's expecting a June restart of its Geelong refinery, which was damaged in a fire last month, and all of that as the petrol price continued to fall last week. The Institute of Petroleum says the national average for a litre of unleaded dropped nearly 9 cents to 183.4 cents per litre. Now that includes the cut to the fuel excise though, which today Jim Chalmers, the Treasurer, said won't be extended, and that petrol price is now almost below where prices were before the war started. Also making news today, A2 Milk shares fell as it recalled baby formula in the US after a toxin was detected. The company says products sold outside the US are unaffected. And footwear company Accent Group slumped. It told investors that ASIC launched an investigation into potential insider trading by its CEO and two executives. But the big story today, NAB shares down 1.5%. It posted a bit of a fall in half-year cash earnings to $2.6 billion, but that reflected accounting changes relating to software. Its business and personal banking divisions rose 12 and 26% respectively, and it declared a steady 85 cent per share interim dividend. It added many borrowers are ahead on their repayments, which would be welcome news given the Reserve Bank is expected to lift interest rates for a third time this year tomorrow, which has supported the Australian dollar, which is now above 72 US. That's a near four-year high. For more about the NAB results and the expected moves in interest rates, I spoke with George Barbouris. He's the head of research at K2 Asset Management.
Australia's on the brink of third consecutive rate rise, and that's significant. It's quite rare to be doing back-to-back rate rises, let alone three in a row. Many moving parts, but basically the RBA has had to readjust its forecast from last year, and their core inflation outlook is very high, and that's very problematic for price stability, and therefore they need to take back those three rate cuts from 2025 and just to get it back to those levels prior to that. So 4.35 looked to be the RBA cash rate as of this week's meeting, and that's to deal again with the core inflation being stubborn, persistently stubborn, and a big change from expectation from where the RBA thought their trajectory was this time last year. And as that's going on, a large part of the contribution to the core CPI or the core inflation that is problematic for the Reserve Bank is that large proportion of government spending to the economy. It's at historical levels we haven't seen for over 70 years, and it's persistently a high proportion, which all things, and it's an oversimplification, and this is, it needs much more in-depth analysis, but when you've got expanding GDP with no productivity growth, that translates into inflation. When you have expanding GDP with productivity growth, say like the US, that passes through and less pressure on core inflation. Again, it's an oversimplification, but the RBA has got a big balancing act to do, and it's very concerned with the trajectory of core inflation because price instability is a big problem right across society.
And we already know that inflation was a problem even before the start of the crisis in the Middle East, because that inflation rate was above the RBA's target anyway. But still, speaking of the war, NAB today said that the size of the shock to inflation and growth as a result is significant but hard to qualify following the Middle East crisis. This is interesting because while we know that there is an economic impact, global markets are still climbing. You know, you've got the likes of the US, Japan, South Korea at or near record highs, yet Aussie shares have underperformed. We're not. Why?
Combination of things. We don't have the technology and AI spend that's at a historical level coming out of, say, the US. That AI spend in the US is of such a significant amount and degree magnitude that it'd be passing through as a rule of thumb around 20% of the earnings per share or the earnings upside this year for the S&P 500, the largest equity market in the world, is estimated to be productivity gains. That's a big powerful driver for the economy, for profits, competition, etc. And they're the beneficiaries of that. And they're the beneficiaries very quickly of the productivity gains going to other sectors like health and transport, as an example, and some financial services in the US. So they're the beneficiaries of it. Parts of the Nikkei also exhibit that, and some parts of the European equity market exhibit that as well. Australia, we don't have that. As an equity market, we are overweight to obviously energy, LNG, bulk commodities and metals, agriculture and financials very quickly. Structurally, we'll be an overweight over the decade ahead, but it's not a linear sort of progression, but there'll be reinvestment into energy and reinvestment into commodities given what's going on in the Middle East and supply chains. That's good going forward, but at the moment, we're just not competing with those benefits of the equity markets, say the US, given the examples I just gave.
Speaking of NAB, what do you make of its results that were out today, the impact the war is having on its books, especially as a business bank, and how borrowers are feeling given higher interest rates?
Very quickly, they did a pre-release, so they got some information out there, and the equity market or the share market for NAB is off around about, say, 17-18% from those highs in early March in that pre-release. But very quickly, yes, you're right, the largest business bank in Australia, it got a large dominance, say 22% of business in Australia. Large businesses are doing well, consortium banking, they're still borrowing, they're diversifying their borrowing, and they're trying to get those, obviously, the blend of weighted average cost of capital, et cetera. So those customers are, again, not stopping from the borrowing and lending and in that market. But very quickly, the small and medium-sized enterprises for NAB are starting to suffer. They're the ones coming through with the confidence shock. Like you're getting the household sentiment quite weak. When you're looking at business sentiment, it's really at the smaller end, and they're going out of their way to saying they're seeing some struggles there. They're not really, they don't need to provision extensively, but they're seeing some slowdown and some issues there. Then they quickly overlay inflation, which is obviously very bad for small and medium-sized enterprises. They're at the cusp of obviously margin compression, absorbing that. And then they've got to obviously deal with the problematic nature of the unknown because they're seeing it through consumer sentiment at the household level with the conflict. Because remember, the shocks that are going to come through in the secondary effect from the war and the conflict are pretty much in the second half of this year. And therefore, more rate rises are required because of the conflict. Remember, the three rate rises that we're getting or expecting to get the third one this week, that's because of where government policy was historically. There'll be more rate rises because of the conflict going forward, and that is an issue that's a bit of a headwind for those with the mortgage and small and medium-sized enterprises that are really going to deal with higher borrowing costs for the rest of this year.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
You mentioned briefly before about how there are a lot of companies in the US spending a lot of money on AI infrastructure. So that's providing a bit of a boost to the equity market there. The other thing that NAB was talking about today was the impact of investment in IT with, quote, changes to its software capitalization policy being blamed for a lowering in cash earnings. What does this tell you about AI, tech spend, and the demand from share market investors to see a return on all this spending in the market? And across the market, not just now, but across the market.
Well, the demand will be there for a return sooner rather than later. That won't happen. Yes, software should be an expense, not capitalized, unless you're really doing an in-house IT spend and starting from scratch on some algorithm or AI. But it should be expense going forward. Makes a lot of sense. That's more equalized with how other banks are doing it globally as well. But remember, the fast pace of the AI is going at such a degree that even where we were 6 months ago, there's significant leaps and bounds. So when people are seeing that change and that change, the rate of change being so quick, they're expecting to see it coming through in the earnings upside. And that's where the mismatch is. So the AI is really impressive and it's changing at a rate of knots very quick. It's historical, but it's not coming through in the earnings upside, particularly in Australia. There are hints of it in the US, but it is a historical level of spend and the capabilities are immense. And if I can close off where I mentioned earlier, the AI contribution to productivity gains in, say, like the US economy are significant because it's a broadening out of earnings to other sectors. We're just not seeing it in Australia to that anywhere near that degree. And we do need to see something like that.
But finally, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Well, clients, you've got that balanced portfolio. You're exposed globally. We have been recommending over the past 6 weeks that we've got to those recent highs to be trimming here and there at the moment. And just be prepared for more spikes of volatility between now and year end. And obviously be prepared for the second round of price pressures coming in the second half of the year from those supply chain shocks. And in Australia's example, just be prepared for a higher interest rate environment even after 3-5 years and work your way through that. That's all you're going to do. Just be comfortable being uncomfortable and working through that, because businesses that are creating earnings with a higher debt servicing facility are good quality businesses, and that's where you want to be for these challenges that we'll be facing over the next, say, 12 to 18 months.
That's George Baburis there from K2 Asset Management. And he wraps up the podcast for this Monday. Give it a like, a review and subscribe if you enjoy it. And don't forget, you can watch On The Money during SBS World News, the weekday edition at 6:30 every day. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close every weekday, and I'll catch you then.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Streaming 13th to the 17th of May on SBS On Demand, the Eurovision Song Contest.
Hi, I'm Delta Goodrum, and I am so excited to be representing you at the world's biggest song contest.
This year, global powerhouse Delta Goodrum takes the stage for Australia.
I'm taking you all with me with my brand new song, Eclipse. Eurovision, here we come.
The Eurovision Song Contest, 13th to the 17th of May on SBS On Demand.